Dear friends in Christ, let me assure you that those words are true. Heaven is your home. Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in his second letter, chapter 2. If you forgive anyone anything, I do too. To be sure, if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven it in the presence of Christ for your sake. This is the word of God. Dear friends, pork tenderloin and biscuits and gravy. Where can I get my hands on those here in Indy? That was the question that I was asked at the wedding rehearsal, because this person hasn't been to Indiana, and he heard that's what you eat in this place. That's not the same everywhere, pork tenderloin and biscuits and gravy, and I'm sure some of you have more niche responses to what you really ought to eat if you're visiting Carmel or Indianapolis or the state of Indiana. But many things are peculiar to this or that place in this world. Being poor is not the same everywhere. Climate change is not the same everywhere. War is not the same everywhere. Peace does not look the same everywhere in this world. Food preferences, certainly not the same everywhere. In fact, the food that grows in this or that place may be very different. And when you start thinking about what's true in one place must be true everywhere, the list is really pretty short. It's hard to come up with a good example. If it's true here, then it's true everywhere. Even in science and technology, if something's true in this world, maybe on the internet, something could break down that makes it not true on the other side of the world or in your own computer when you're trying to figure out why it's not connected or why it's slow or what's wrong with your machine. The truths of science might not be the same far out in the outer reaches of the universe. And we still learn and we still grow and we still understand those things. But I'll tell you one thing. One thing that's ubiquitous, one thing that is always true, if it's true in one place, it's true everywhere. It's these words in Christ Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. If your sins are forgiven in Carmel, Indiana, they're forgiven in Carmel, California. If your sins are forgiven in the United States, they're forgiven in China and in Russia. If your sins are forgiven in Djibouti, they're forgiven in Timbuktu. Because your sins are forgiven, whether on earth or in heaven, under the person of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who forgives sins. And so if you forgive sins within your family, if there's sin, there's repentance, there's forgiveness, it's true for the whole church, all believers, everywhere, because that forgiveness comes from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's one great reason why ministers of the gospel can and do pronounce what we call absolution. Today we're going to see from where ministers obtain the authority to pronounce absolution, and then we're going to see in what the validity of absolution rests. In Corinth, there was a man who had sinned publicly, outwardly. Everyone knew about it. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians. He says, expel the immoral brother. We kind of see our doctrine of excommunication in those words, 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. The uncomfortable idea that if someone doesn't repent, we withhold forgiveness. But that goes all the way back to what Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The good news is that by 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing to these Christians who gathered in that Corinthian congregation that he'd heard this man had repented. So it was time to forgive him. In fact, Paul's advice was they ought to comfort him so that he would not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Probably the greatest crime in Christianity is if someone is repentant and their heart has turned towards the Lord, to withhold forgiveness from that person. And there's not this great big gap between, even in our church services, between confessing our sins and being forgiven. In fact, if you pay attention, it happens a few times throughout our service. And then if you didn't get a chance to examine your heart thoroughly, which is really a good private practice to do as you approach Holy Communion, the service also prepares your heart for Holy Communion. So in this text, Paul is clearly speaking of absolution. Because in the context, he says, if you forgive anyone anything, I do too. To be sure, if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven it in the presence of Christ for your sake. The formal announcing of forgiveness of sins to the Christian congregation. It might have looked a little bit different in Paul's day, but essentially it's the same thing as what we call confession and absolution. Your sins are absolved. That is, they're sent away from you. And this practice of absolution means we express forgiveness, and we not only give the offender, the person who's repented, comfort, we give that person heaven. For where there's forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. They all go together. It all connects. Unfortunately, this doctrine of absolution can come under scrutiny and hasn't always been so popular, even among Christians. I think it's very common and very popular now to think of an emotional forgiveness, a psychological forgiveness. It's healthier emotionally or psychologically to forgive other people. It's actually healthy for you, and studies show that forgiving people are happier people, just as thankful people are happier people. But what about when the words of forgiveness affect the person's relationship with God on a spiritual plane? That if your sins are forgiven by a believer here, the pastor, or in your personal relationships, Jesus Christ also sees those sins as forgiven. That's stating something a little bit more powerful, even than that psychological or emotional forgiveness. And so we should really ask the question, where does the authority to forgive sins originate? Where does it come from? And here, I don't think any Christian would disagree. It comes from God above. Only God has the authority to forgive sins. And Jesus' enemies weren't wrong when he told a paralyzed man who was laid before him by some of his friends to be healed. Before he healed him, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus' enemies said, "Only God can forgive sins." Well, that's true. The trouble was their assessment of Jesus Christ, whether he was true God or not. So, I could say, yeah, if you've wronged me, I can forgive you, and that's emotionally healthy. But if the person has violated God's divine law, how do I have the right to say your sins are forgiven? That's God's prerogative. And I think that's self-evident. I don't think anyone would dispute it. But as evident as that is, he who has the authority to forgive sins also has the authority to delegate it, to equip anyone he wants to with this power of forgiveness. That's the power of the keys. You have the keys to the church, not the physical keys, but the keys to heaven. Jesus Christ has given those to you by saying things like this: if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. John 20, verse 23. Or Matthew 18, the great chapter of repentance and forgiveness. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. But if Jesus Christ is the originator of the forgiveness of sins, he can also commission others to distribute that forgiveness. So you know that even though you may express a word of forgiveness to someone else, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, that purifies us from all unrighteousness. And John goes on in his first letter, chapter 1, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A lot of people might say, well, how has he done that? God hasn't shown up to me face to face and told me my sins are forgiven. But he has. He has each and every time a fellow believer has told you your sins are forgiven. And so we can say with St. Paul, I as a pastor can say with St. Paul to the Corinthians, if you forgive anyone anything, I do too. Because the forgiveness of sins is distributed not on the authority of St. Paul or on the authority of the Christians in Corinth or on the authority of the Christians at Bethlehem or on the authority of Pastor Bodie. The forgiveness of sins are distributed on the authority of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let's also point out in what the validity of absolution rests. If Christian forgiveness is true everywhere, in public absolution or just in your private relationships, then what's the temptation? The temptation may be for us to forget to actually say it to people around us. Well, she's a Christian. She knows she's forgiven after she's confessed her sin to me. You might say something like, it's okay. But what would be so strong and so powerful to remind that person, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Brothers and sisters in the church, you have that power. That special right and privilege that God's given you. Why do we forget to literally say that out loud? If it's universally true, if you can say it here and it's true in Timbuktu, why don't we say it more often? Maybe we doubt the forgiveness we have to say. And maybe at times we look at ourselves and think, well, is my forgiveness valid? Can I really take that on myself to give? But forgiveness isn't valid because of who you are. If it were, we'd have a lot of trouble. It would be a very bad thing. The validity of absolution isn't dependent on the preacher. It isn't dependent on his worthiness. When our governor pardons a criminal, it makes no material difference whether he sends a judge or a janitor to deliver that pardon. Because the truth, the fact of the pardon is in the message, not in the messenger. And the same thing is true for forgiveness. Well, our minister is very pious, someone might say, and then I know my sins are forgiven. And it's true that if a minister lived an evil life and was secretly some kind of hypocrite, it might jade or change the way you hear those words. That's an offense, and God has strict punishment for those who preach and teach things that they don't believe. But the power of forgiveness can come even through an evil preacher, even through the biggest hypocrite, because the power of forgiveness is in the words of Jesus Christ. And as it turns out, the words of Jesus Christ bring about and do just what Jesus wants them to. Because he doesn't make things up. He doesn't tell us fake things. Jesus Christ doesn't lie, and his word is true always. Even if heaven and earth pass away, his word will never pass away. So, Jesus says to his enemies in Matthew 23, he says about his enemies to his listeners, he says, the experts in the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you. But then he goes on, he said, but do not do as they do, because they do not practice what they preach. The words remain the same, whether spoken by upright or hypocritical lips. But it's not dependent on the sinner. And so I approach you so foolishly, if it were on my own merit or my own worth, to stand up here and say, your sins are forgiven. But our absolution is worded so that I appeal to the call, to what Jesus has said to me through his body of believers. You are our pastor. We will receive forgiveness of sins through you. So each believer, as you express forgiveness to those who have sinned against you, approach that with great humility, because you do that on not on your own validity or on your own authority, but because Jesus has given you those words to speak. And it makes such a big difference. It makes such a big difference when we remember to say those words, your sin is forgiven. Your sin against me is gone. We can say it in many creative ways. You know, it's buried under the sea. Psalm 103 is a great place to go. As far as the east is from the west, so far is your sin from you. Because that's where Jesus has carried it. As far as the cross, into the depths of forsakenness from God his Father, it's gone. That's where your sin goes when you request forgiveness. And that's where it goes when your fellow believer says you are forgiven. But you see this when life events happen. You fling open those prison doors, and then that person walks through it. And by the way, it's also not dependent, the validity of forgiveness is also not dependent on the person who's seeking it. If you forgive someone and they refuse to receive it, that's like flinging open prisoner doors and saying you have a pardon straight from God himself and the person remaining within the prison cell. And those sins are retained to that person if he doubts that forgiveness. But not you, believer, because the Holy Spirit has worked on your heart, not because of who you are, or what you brought to the table, or your past life, or even your future, all the good things you plan on doing, not because of all the interesting accomplishments you've had in life, or the surmounting merits that you've achieved and before all people in the community, or whatever it may be, but simply because the Holy Spirit has caused faith in your heart. He's brought it about. It's a miracle. We couldn't do this on our own. But again, Jesus' words bring about and do exactly what he means them to do. And so many a moment has taken place when a minister of the gospel has come to the home of a family of believers in the wake of death, where they've forgotten to share the fact that our beloved one is in heaven now. Maybe they were caught up in despair, or maybe they didn't think it would really help heal those wounds. And emotionally, it does take our hearts a little time to track with that fact that my believing loved one is in heaven right now, along with Moses, who was taken to heaven just before the promised land. God had bigger things in store for him. We're but strangers here. But then we forget to say it. And so when a minister of the gospel comes to a home like that, you see people's posture shift. When you come and you say, I'm not here to cause more tears or to join with you in loud mourning. I'm here to dry those tears. And I'm here to share the fact of the matter that's true here and that's true everywhere, that that person's sins are forgiven. And when Jesus spoke to Lazarus and said, come out, he used his name just in case the whole graveyard wouldn't rise from the dead. Come out, Lazarus, because he's going to say that to each and every believer one day, just as he's called us by name in the promises of our baptisms. So here's my encouragement to you. Just in case you forget to express that forgiveness that's not only true here, but everywhere around the world, from China to Russia to Carmel, California. Forgive local. A lot of us encourage each other to eat local, eat at a local restaurant. Go find some local food. It might be of deep interest to a visitor to look around and see what the local food is and eat local. I'm telling you today to forgive local. Forgive at home. Forgive those who are near you. Forgive your neighbors. Forgive your teachers, your principal, forgive your administrators, forgive your boss, forgive your employees. Be forgiving. When someone comes to you with a crushed conscience and a heart that's stricken with the fact of their sin, which is, as I reminded the couple yesterday, sin is spelled with a capital I, because it's always looking for me, 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 I, serving self. When that finally strikes the heart of someone who's seeking forgiveness, forgive local. Don't forget to express those words of forgiveness. Make it as common as pork tenderloin and biscuits and gravy. Because you have a Savior who's always with you, who's given you the words, and who promises to take that sin straight to the cross and far away from anyone who needs it. And that's the riches of Christ, Jesus himself. Here you are, believer, forgiven, absolved, saved, for the sake of Jesus. Amen.